morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. You know that. I have so many people today that I just have to say one thing before I get into this show. You know, every so often you run into somebody works in an office, actually cares about you when you go in. I have to thank Gloria at the United States Government Social Security Office in the Conti Building in Pittsfield. What a wonderful, professional, caring individual she is, and she was to me, an old fat bald guy. But I can't say enough good about you, Gloria. Thank you so much for all your help, and you are a wonderful federal employee. Now, today, I'm just telling you this right now. You have tonight, Saturday, and Sunday matinee to see one of the most spectacular shows you'll ever see. And I'm not just saying that. I was totally mesmerized by this show, captured. And it's Million Dollar Quartet. It's at the Colonial. If you got an opportunity to see it, you get there, but you only can go tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. And here we have some of the stars, and they are really the stars of this. I still talk about it, and my wife says she's tired of it. But, you know, we've been married 52 years. She's probably tired of a lot of it. Anyhow, go ahead and introduce yourselves. I'm going to start with Emma.
Hi, my name is Emma Wilcox, and I play Diane, who is Elvis's girlfriend in our show.
Okay. Billy?
Hi, I'm Billy Rude. I play Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, in Million Dollar Quartet.
I just got to interrupt for a minute. This guy has no connective tissues. No ligaments. He has no joints. You'll never appreciate it till you see him. He can take his foot from the pedal on the piano and bring it up and put it on the keys. I went home and had to put Bengay on just from watching him. Bill, you were amazing. You were amazing.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate
it. I got to let Colin in. There he is. Colin. Hey, Colin. Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
There he is.
We're already started. We'll get that. Now, I have to say about Bill Sheets. He plays Johnny Cash. And I just was telling them, in my life, I had the opportunity at one time to be around Johnny Cash for about 4 hours. And all I can tell you, I see there's a lot of impersonators, but Bill, you were him. You stayed in what the character or whatever it is. And you have, when you sing, if people close their eyes, they're going to think Johnny Cash is on stage. Honest to God, I mean that. So, and now Colin Summers, Colin, tell us who you play.
In the show, I play Carl Perkins.
Yeah. And Carl, tell us about Carl. That's the important part, I think. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Carl was certainly a pioneer of rock and roll and a pioneer of rockabilly. Had a couple of big hits in the 50s and was very well respected by certainly a lot of folks that came afterwards. By the Beatles were big fans of Carl, and at the point of the show, Carl Perkins has already had his breakout hit, and he's looking for another hit to follow it up, hoping to not be a one hit wonder, as it were.
And you played the part so well. I said to my wife, wouldn't you like to own the rights to that picture?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we'd all be living a lot easier. Just kind of an overview, folks, of the, it's called the Million Dollar Quartet. the premise of the show is this. There's Johnny Cash. Geez, I drew a blank. Johnny Cash, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, and who's the fourth one? I forget.
Carl Perkins.
Everybody always forgets Carl.
I know. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Oh, so cool. And that's my era. Are you kidding me? That's my era. I can remember watching Ed Sullivan, my father. I was my father's remote. You know, Billy, turn the channel. I'd have to get up and go turn the channel. And Elvis was on. And I'll never forget it. He was on the Ed Sullivan show. And my father said, turn the channel. That's obscene. Because, you know, Elvis, but you played him. You played them. I don't know how you guys, between you and Billy playing Jerry Lee Lewis and you playing Elvis, you got to have, when you get to be my age, you're probably going to have back problems. But I just want to let you know in advance.
I'll get the insurance now, right?
Yeah, get the insurance. Don't call up Lloyds of London.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to, they'll take one look at my resume and they'll be like, oh, we'll insure this guy for, definitely. Yeah. He jumps off pianos for a living? Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully nobody secretly videoed you bringing, because then you'll never get insurance.
Who knows?
I know. So the show's been a great hit. It's really, really gone on and on. And so what do you, what's next? I'm going to start with Emma. It's closing, folks, and I'm telling you right now, tonight, Saturday, and Sunday, that's it. Get down, get the tickets, because if you miss this, I honest to God, you're going to miss something you'll regret, because this is just such a marvelous production, marvelous actors, singers, musicians, however you want to. And I will say that everybody was jumping and jiving in their seats. I mean, nobody just said, I mean, everybody was moving. So I'll start. Emma, what's next for you? Well, I think she's frozen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I believe so. Billy, what about you?
Well, I go back to Chicago, which is where I'm located out of. I'm going to be in that area for a couple months, and then the holiday season's going to roll around, and we'll see what's going on. I've got a couple ideas, a couple plans in mind, but I think we're going to be doing a lot more music in the later half of the year.
Oh, great, great. Bill, what about you?
About 3 weeks downtime, and then I start Ring of Fire in Chicago, and I got 2 weekends while we're in rehearsals where I fly out to LA, do a couple concerts out there, and then after Ring of Fire I go back on the national tour of Million Dollar Quartet Christmas, which is the new version.
Oh wow, cool. Well, Colin?
I will be going back to New York for about a month and a half. I'll be hanging out there, and then I will join a cast of Million Dollar Quartet that is going to be on Norwegian Cruise Lines.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. And Emma, how about you?
Well, as of right now, I'm headed home with nothing in the future. So if you'd like to see me in a musical or anyone would like to cast me, I'd love to be a part of things.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you need a
reference, she's a breeze to work with.
Oh, I'll tell you. If you need a reference, you have them call me.
Absolutely.
I mean that with any one of you. It was such a delightful evening. And I, Colin, you were on before. I don't want you to take this as a scary thing. We'll be in the audience again tonight. They were kind enough to say, I was ranting and raving about how great it was. And they said, would you want to see it again? It took me a nano. Yeah.
All right.
Well, only because I see a lot of stuff in the course of a season. And some of it's really good and some of it's that. If you know what I mean, how much more time?
Absolutely.
So I want to start. Emma, how did you get into this career field. When I interview actors and musicians, they all want to know how you got started.
Well, I've been dancing since I was three, and I was primarily brought up doing competitive dance as a child. Oh. And then when I got into high school, I decided I wanted to give musical theater a go. And that was after I had done, you know, my church choir, and I sung in school choirs and found out that I really enjoyed singing as well. So I did a training program at the Paper Mill Playhouse Summer Conservatory, and that kind of sparked my love for theater. So after that, I went through college auditions and I ended up getting a BFA in musical theater, and I've been working professionally ever since.
Wow. Well, that's great. Yeah, but how, your parents encouraged you, obviously supported you, and...
Absolutely. I mean, they have always been my biggest fans, and without their constant support, you know, whether that be, you know, mental support, love, financial support, I would never be where I am without them. So I'm very grateful for that.
And you know, you guys don't know my background. I come out of the criminal justice field, and I had the opportunity, or that's probably not the right word, but to put together a program for violent youthful offenders who were sentenced because of their crimes to the penitentiary. And they didn't have...
The Jerry Lee Lewis School for Delinquency, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Serious delinquents. The reason I bring this out is because parents, I don't really care what the kid all wants to do, as long as it's within reason, obviously. But these are wonderful careers. Encourage them. Don't discourage them. I know people who, music lessons are wonderful. Dance lessons are wonderful. And the other piece is they have to put this down to do either one of them. Get this on the phone. I'm so tired of seeing this their whole life. Bill, how did you get into it?
I wasn't like in a musical family or anything like that. I was in wrestling growing up. But I started getting friends with the theater kids and wanted to do that. And then I wanted to do the musicals, so I had to learn how to sing to do that freshman year. And then that kind of took off. And being a bass, I was in demand as far as high schoolers go. And then ended up going into music. I studied classically as a bass baritone for opera and got a degree in music education. I taught elementary music for a year and then moved up to Chicago. My first audition was for Million Dollar Quartet on the Cruise Line, and all kind of took off from there. And that's actually where I met Colin. My first professional gig, he was our Carl Perkins.
Wow. That Colin, how about you? Or Carl, should I say? Or no?
I was always doing theater, and in high school did a lot of theater in high school, and I played a lot of music in bands and stuff. Okay. And I never quite knew that there was a way to combine them in the specific way that this show does. So I graduated college with a degree in theater, and it took me several years of sort of trying my own stuff before I realized that there was this sort of niche available to me to play my instrument on stage and act at the same time as telling a story, as the same time as being the band that's helping to orchestrate the story. So once I found that, I just felt like I was off to the races, and I was like, this is what I want to keep doing.
It's you're an amazing, all of you are amazing talents. Billy, how about you? What got you so limber?
Limber? I don't know. Yeah. I say stretchy because I wake up in the morning and I go to bed at night and I stretch. But a lot like Colin, I was put in music lessons when I was little. I was around theater a lot when I was little. I was playing piano by age six. I had lessons all throughout childhood and several different teachers at the Gilmore in Southwest Michigan. And then a lot like Bill, I was also doing sports throughout high school, but I kind of found a loving, exciting, and interesting community in the theater. And that started in middle school for me, but when it got to high school, I started to take it a lot more seriously, and I had a lot more role models and teachers who encouraged me and impressed upon me, just like Colin was saying, that there is a career out there. And so I also went to college for musical theater. I got my BFA, and I do a little teaching outside. I do some music directing, but I've been working ever since I graduated, and I was very fortunate right outside of once I graduated college, I jumped right on the Million Dollar Quartet National Tour. Wow. And then I've been doing these wonderful regional productions with some absolutely exceptional people like Bill, Colin, and Emma. And, you know, it's one of my favorite things that I've gotten to do, because I love traveling, and playing music and traveling has been a huge dream of mine. And this show is like being in a rock band and hanging out with your best buds every day. I wouldn't trade
for it. Oh, that's so cool. You have to tell me, and I'm going to, what do you think of the Colonial? I'll go back to you, Billy, to start.
Oh, my goodness.
What's it like to be on that stage?
Well, I'm sure the guys will attest to this, but especially for Million Dollar Quartet, it's incredible. Because these are the houses that these guys would have rolled into town and performed in. You know, these, like, they weren't really built for them. They had to figure out the sound. It developed like a special slapback, like trademark amongst. So it's really cool to perform this music in a space that feels natural for these performers. So it just, like, it really adds to the layer for both us on stage and the audience.
And when you walk back in that backstage area and that backstage cut, and you look at the billboards, and I sit in that theater, and I while I'm watching the show, I'm thinking, this is a spectacular place. The acoustics, everything about it. You're musicians. You guys gotta love it, Billy. What do you think about the Colonial?
Are you talking to me or Billy?
I'm sorry, Bill. Yeah,
no worries. Well, I mean, it's certainly a more inviting space than the Unicorn was to do this show.
I forgot you did that.
Colin and I can both attest to the fact that it's very nice to actually plug in. certainly much more so for Colin playing an electric than myself as an acoustic, but. We enjoyed our time here before that. Obviously we came back, you know, but the Colonial is much more of a space for it. You know, it's got those high ceilings. It's pretty good for acoustics. And so far the audiences have been great. Like last night was my favorite audience so far. You know, tell your viewers, don't come polite, come rowdy. You know, that's what we want. We want the energy to come back to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get here early, buy a drink in the lobby.
We are a couple. I have to agree. I go to the Unicorn, but I have a somewhat of a physical walking disability, and I'm always afraid that I'm going to be on the stage, if you know what I mean, roll down the stairs and roll up on the stage.
It's tight. Yeah.
I've seen people do that. They come in and they're not paying. They're looking at the stage, and the next thing you know, they're almost on the stage. Colin, what's your impression of the Colonial?
My first impression, aside from walking out on stage and looking up and up and up and up and up and seeing just how high the ceiling is, just how high the seating is, when you speak just with your voice on that stage, you hear the most gorgeous reverb coming from the whole room, and it's like they should record stuff in there, because it would sound amazing.
I saw an Irish, I can't remember her name, but I'm 76, I don't remember where I parked the car, but this Irish singer, she pointed almost exactly what she started to sing with a microphone. She said, I don't need this. And she just sang with it, and it was beautiful. And I guess when we look at the Colonial, where we become accustomed to it, and some people take it for granted and they really shouldn't, because it is a perfect place to see live theater. And what I look at my job is doing on the radio and TV here, and I'll get you clips, direct links to this. I'll get it to Amy and she'll get it to you. When I look at my job is putting people in seats, people who don't normally go to live theater. You know, they go to the movies. I because to me, there's nothing better than live theater. I mean, I like the movies. That's all well and good. But when you go to see a show of the caliber of your show, I mean, it can't be replicated on film. I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to make a film of this, but when you go and see you perform, you're unbelievable. And I just have to say that. And I don't blow smoke. I mean, here's my philosophy. I'm not a critic. I don't, if I don't like a show, I don't say a word about it. If I go to see a show and I don't like it, you know why? Because I can't do what you do, even if I don't like it. I can't get up in front of people on a stage. Well, I could, but then everybody'd be running out like it was a fire drill if I started singing. But it's truly amazing the talent you guys have. To me, it's so worthwhile for people to please get to the show. You've got tonight, you've got Saturday, and you have Sunday. Now, do you have a matinee on Saturday or not?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you have two shows on Saturday?
Two shows.
We have a show tonight. We have a show tonight. We have a show tomorrow, which is right. Friday.
Right.
And we have Saturday and Sunday.
This is going to air tomorrow morning.
Billy just turned into a robot. What happened to your voice? I liked it.
Yeah. What is it? AI? It's not really Billy. It's AI. Yeah,
that was an AI something.
Yeah.
It's still going.
Yeah, it's still going.
I think it's because you switched to your headphones.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah.
Maybe so, I'm wrong.
Obviously a couple of you have been to the bird. What do you do off when you get out on your off time? Do you do any sightseeing or anything like that?
We have had some wonderful evenings at the Dream Away Lodge.
Oh,
we have thoroughly enjoyed all of the live music there. That is one of my favorite places that I've been to on a contract in my off time. What's kind of interesting about our particular career field is that our off times are other people's on times, right? So we're people's Saturday night entertainment. We don't get to go out on Saturday nights. So when we have a chance to go somewhere like the Dream Away on a Sunday night after we've had a matinee performance or another evening, it's really exciting to go out and see the local talent that the Berkshires has to offer. And we've thoroughly enjoyed all of our times there. So
the Dream Away Lodge is a legend. It's truly is a legend. It always has been. I'm so glad. And you're right. And it's hard, isn't it? Because when you're performing, everybody else is performing. In this area,
our weekend is usually on Mondays or Tuesdays for performers. You know, so right. Our downtime is it's during everybody else's weekday. So as someone who doesn't like crowds, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think too I guess the sad part is you won't get to maybe you can go to the rehearsals at Tanglewood in the morning and stuff. If you get an opportunity, it's really worth. I don't know if you've been on the grounds at Tanglewood or whatever. It's an amazing another amazing place that I bring people when they come to visit. So I'm thinking. What? No, I'm going to go back and get back to the show. I'm going to start, Emma, with you. What was the most challenging part of your role for you?
My role particularly? I think what's interesting about my character is in terms of the play and its historical accuracy, I am the only character who isn't necessarily a real person. My character is actually based off of a woman who was there in real life when this album was recorded back in 1956. And her name was Marilyn Evans. She was a dancer, and she made it known that she did not want her whole personality to be Elvis's girlfriend. Now, when they created this show, they did not yet know the identity of Marilyn Evans. So they named my character Diane and kind of gave her a new personality in terms of her being like a nightclub singer and, you know, an aspiring performer. So what was, I don't know if I'll say per se difficult for me, but interesting for me is creating a character who is not necessarily rooted in historical accuracy. So I kind of had to create my own relationships with all of these icons for the first time. And what has been very special for me is my character gets to kind of mirror the audience's experience as they're seeing the show. I'm the person on stage who's getting to meet all of these legends for the first time. And the audience is kind of witnessing how they may be responding to these guys if they had a chance to be in the studio with them. So walking the fine line between, you know, adding my own things and also matching the historical accuracy of the time period and how my character might react, was a bit of a challenge, but it was well anticipated, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that piece. That's an interesting piece. Colin.
Yes.
Well, you've been doing it for a while. Let's flash back to your first time.
Yeah, the first time, that is a good flashback. I had 2 weeks of rehearsal before we opened the first time. Now, I think I've said this in other interviews, but it's worth repeating, which is that to really do this show, the first thing you have to learn is the music, right? The that's like step one. And then step two is sort of like the acting part, because you have to know the music so well that you're able to not just focus on playing the music, but focus on acting as your character while you're playing the music.
I never thought of that. Yeah.
And so I have to say, probably the first time that I did this show, I bet I was well into my run before I was able to fully live in the moment doing the show, because I was so focused on playing the notes right that it became harder to live in the moment as an actor the way that you need to breathe on stage with your fellow actors and act and react in a natural way. So once I got to the point with my playing of the show that I could do it, you know, practically in my sleep, that's when I really found another level of performance that was previously unavailable to me, to be able to sort of unlock that next layer.
That, yeah, you know, thank you for that. That was, because it's things that I know, I'm sure the audience didn't think, well, you just get up and you play and you act. Well, no, because they're different skills, different muscle memory, for lack of a better term. Wow. We got to take a quick break or they'll yell at me again. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301 Spectrum Cable. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. There's lots more to this. But right now, if you want, call the Colonial Bob Berkshire Theater Group, Colonial Box Office, and get your tickets for tonight, Friday night, Saturday, matinee, performance. Yeah, you're not much different off stage than you are, Billy. I mean that's why you're so good at it. Seriously, Saturday matinee, Saturday evening, and Sunday matinee only, and then it's over. And if you've missed it, believe me, you're going to bump into people who have seen it, and they'll just tell you how phenomenal it was. And it really is phenomenal. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal. with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the morning drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Well, we're back. Listen, I want to thank Colin. How wonderful an explanation. It's things that, unless you're a true professional, and they all are true professionals, I never thought of that. The difficulty would be the actor, the musician, the guitar player. Remembering the words, most people know. I tell you, folks, that most of the people who watch this realize that my memory is somewhere. And if they find it, they're going to drop it off at the house. But there's basically what has happened. But Bill, you were during the break, Bill brought up some stuff about the same thing.
Yeah, first time I did it, well, I was completely out of my element. I'd never performed professionally before, and now I was catapulted into this really high-level gig working with the guys who created the show. You know, so it wasn't like I got, dipped my toe in. I got thrown into the deep end. And what I learned quickly was that it's actually very difficult to play guitar, to sing like Cash and act like Cash all at the same time. It does not come naturally. You know, you got to kind of build it up over time. Let's just say, the first times I was doing it, I don't think I did it justice, but I learned as I went and got better with it over time. But, you know, like Colin was saying, you just got to have the music so down that you don't even think about it. And then, you know, we all develop our characters over time. I'm sure everybody else feels the same way. Like the first time you did it is different from what you do now. I know that's certainly true of myself. So it's all just a learning experience, but that's definitely, I would say, the most difficult part of this show.
And you know, there's so many moving parts, I years and years ago at North Junior High School, I was in a little production, and I was having a heck of a time trying to find the spots on the stage because everything was backwards, right? Stage right, and I'd go to the left, and the drama actually Miss Estelle Alphonse didn't always have the patience maybe a teacher should have, or probably I just was too stupid. Billy, what about you? Tell me about you. How did you ever master Jerry Lee Lewis?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can continue on with what Bill and Colin have been saying. As a piano player growing up, I didn't study Jerry Lee Lewis as an initial influence. I had a lot of classical training. And then even still, as I developed as a young man, I didn't necessarily listen to Jerry Lee Lewis all the time. I was listening to people that maybe were influenced by Jerry Lee. I was listening to, you know, Billy Joel. I was listening to, the Doobie Brothers had a lot of great sounds I was listening to. So as I grew up, my sound of Billy playing the piano sounded a very specific way. Just like, Bill, when Bill picks up a guitar, he starts playing his original songs. It doesn't sound like Johnny because that's Bill in that song. And when Colin plays his licks, when he's playing funky lick, the man can shred. He can shred a little bit more than a lot of it better than Carl Perkins could. But I think what's interesting is so much of our show is living in these headspaces and also living in an improvisational headspace. For instance, I don't play the same thing every night. I play different licks. I play different things on the piano in an improvisational way. But I have to live in this fenced-in area that are the rules of Jerry Lee and what he was influenced by. So to kind of talk about all the things that we're juggling, I'm not only pretending to be a different person, but I'm pretending that I was raised to play piano a completely different way. So I think all of us are juggling a whole lot of different things up there to just kind of live in this natural space. And when it all works, I think it's really magical.
It I've seen it all work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the folks, for the listeners and the viewers. Well, when these folks come together, let me tell you, it works. It really does. And I'm not saying it because you now know me. If I'm not nuts over something, I'm not nuts over it. But I left there so enthusiastic to spread the word of this performance. And I really did. I rant, and if some of you who watch every day realize how I ranted and raved about it the day after. But to me, you got to say good things about when something is good. And this is beyond good. This is spectacular. They deliver a product, a performance that when you walk out of there, you'll be whistling or singing, or it'll be running, especially if you're my age. I've told everyone, in fact, I put it on my Facebook, and people have gone to see it and have stopped me. No, you ready for, you'll love this. Coming out of church saying, hey, I saw that. It was great. That guy with the piano. How about that Johnny Cash guy? Hey, Carl Perkins. You know, the world needs you guys. I'm not being melodramatic or hyperbole or whatever. The world needs to just chill out. I'm an old man. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I just need the world to chill out a little bit. And how to do it? Go to see this performance. Go to see this performance. Tonight, Saturday matinee, Saturday night, Sunday matinee, and then poof, it's gone. And don't miss.
Can I tell your listeners?
Can I say something about what you talked about the School of Delinquency and how this is a real job? And I just want to say thank you for saying that we're needed, because you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time at work, and they work for something. Yeah. And at the end of the day, when they get home, the things they work for are art, music, theater, entertainment, laughter. And so I think we're all really excited, and we take being the thing and being the source of the thing that people live for, not live during, is really important to us.
Thank you for that. And Bill, you were saying something?
Thank you.
I was saying, I was going to piggyback on that. That's a really good point. You know, I mean, the world does need, it needs a break. It needs a chill. Yeah, sure. But also, you know, I mean, what theater is, I think, you know, we're losing out on, you know, the live experience of like really being there when somebody's doing it rather than watching it on a movie or a TV screen, or more often, you know, YouTube or something like that. That's good. But I also want to tell your listeners, if they can't get enough of Million Dollar Quartet, we're touring in Boston with the national tour. By the way, we'll be playing 3 dates. So just to let y'all know.
No, please do. And do me a favor, or have Amy do it. Send it to me. And I'll announce. I postponed the announcements till the end of the show because I didn't want to hold you guys up. But I'll announce it, because people, there's nothing. I go to the doctors in Boston, so I don't take this as a threat.
But yeah, no, we're playing 3 dates in Boston, the new version of the show, Million Dollar Quartet Christmas, and I'm pretty excited. I've never been to Boston.
Well, let me just tell you, don't be surprised if you see an old fat ball guy there.
Can't wait.
You know, because to me, I would drive there to see it. I have a sister that lives on Cape Cod, so I can, you know, mooch a room off of her. Now I want to add, because I'm really interested in this. You guys, Bill and Colin, you go on the cruises?
Cruise ships? used to work on the cruise ships. I don't anymore. Colin's still doing the cruise ships, but I did 3 contracts with Norwegian. Colin can tell you more, though. He's done it more than I have.
How is that, Colin?
Yeah, I'm about to do my 6th contract, I believe.
Wow.
It's a long gig. It's like a 6-month out of the year kind of gig.
Whoa.
But it's a very rare opportunity as a performer to really set yourself up in a financially stable way, which I plan on using as a launch pad for the rest of my performing career.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're on the ship. Where do you live on the ship? Are you above water, below water?
Oh, you're above water, man. That ship particularly, I think we're a little bit different than everybody else, but they set us up in like officer cabins with a porthole.
Wow.
You know, stuff like, you know, a double bed. It's not bad digs at all.
But and Colin, you said, and Bill, it's long. How long a run is it?
A month of rehearsals and 6 months on the boat.
Well, they'd be locking me in a room.
It's a long run. They have a cast there on the ship, basically year round.
Wow, that's amazing. But Colin, you made a great point. And that is financially, it's a long run, but you're making money, you know?
Right. And you basically have no expenses because they're living on the ship for free.
Yeah.
So you can spend all your money traveling, sightseeing and stuff, or you can save it. Or you can do a combination of both.
Both. Yeah, yeah. It has to be a fairly good experience for you. I mean, they must treat you pretty well.
Travel is great.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, short sell the travel act either, because that's always fun to spend the winter on the beach for the most part.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll think of you when it's, 4 feet of snow and it's 8 below. I'll say, I'll call Colin, see how he's doing on the beach. I guess before we actually go, you guys, and I mean this, thanks for coming on this, but more importantly, thank you for the performances that you have delivered, night and afternoon and night. I have to ask this, you're going to do it 6 months on a cruise ship. How do you psych yourself up for that? I mean, I sometimes have to drink 8 cups of coffee to psych myself up to do this little show, especially when I'm doing politicians.
Well, it's always fun. Playing the music is always fun. So that's sort of like the baseline. Doing rehearsals for a month before we get on the ship does a pretty good job of psyching me up, because you're meeting all sorts of new people. And even if you've done the show a lot before, there's always somebody new coming into the cast that you probably haven't worked with, or a different vibe between different people makes for, you know, a new twist on the show. You know, you might find yourself in a scene with an actor that you've never worked with before, and they say their line in a way that you've never heard before. And it makes you respond in a way that you've never responded before.
Oh,
so you got to find it. There's always sorts of new fun ways to find meaning in the text. And then also one thing that's really nice, like Billy was saying, is there is a little room for improvisation in terms of the music. It's within these little windows of where the solos are and where the licks are. But I usually try to challenge myself to change a little something about the solos that I play just to keep the music fresh for me as well.
Yeah. Thank you all for being so forthcoming, because the audience likes to hear that, you know. But the one thing that you all have said, and I want people to understand, if you see the show Friday night and you like it, and then you go back Saturday, it won't be the same show. That's what I love about live theater. There'll be some one little, could be, you know, whatever, Billy will jump on the piano from the ground floor up through the ceiling and back down. Whatever. Please support the arts. And if you want to see a show and to give you a reason to support the arts, please see this one. Emma, when you won't, I have to, I got to confess this. At the after party there or whatever, after meet and greet, and Roseanne said, "Oh, there's Emma." I said, "Who's she?" they have a costume that she's in. And I guarantee you, if you can recognize her when she's out of costume, I'll give you a buck. Because that, how did you ever do all your dancing and everything you did? That wig's got to weigh more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, I was so fortunately given such beautiful costumes and a wig for this show. Obviously, the listeners can't see what I look like right now, but I have blonde hair in the show and I have brown hair in real life. And these gorgeously handmade costumes designed by Arthur Oliver.
Yeah.
Those costumes were hand-built for me, created just for this specific production of Million Dollar Quartet at the Colonial. I have two absolutely beautiful dresses, and I'm incredibly honored that I get to wear them and use them to help bring the show to life every night.
Well, I'll tell you, that wig, when I saw you sitting... Because I almost walked right by it to meet and greet, so and I said this to the staff there, while you are marvelous stars, and I mean that from my heart, you're not pretentious. None of you are pretentious. And believe me, I've been doing this show for almost 20 years. I've met some really pretentious people. And they're not, some of them weren't very big stars either. They just were. What will happen to you if the Actors Guild goes on strike to support the Writers Guild? Will that kind of throw your careers?
Well, I think that's more for screen. Just personally, go more into music, I guess. I don't know if anything happened with Equity, to be honest.
Yeah. And I thank you for that. I wasn't sure because I saw, I live in a neighborhood. There's a couple of actors live here and in the neighborhood I live in. They live in New York, but they want to come to reality. They come here. One of them was saying that maybe, but you're right. It maybe he just does a lot of film.
Yeah. That would be some of the old thing. Yeah.
And some of us are both in the Theater Guild and the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh.
In which case, when SAG plans to strike, those of us that are in SAG will stand in solidarity. Yeah. But Actors Equity of America is, we've got our own thing. We've got our own issues we have to deal with, own Broadway League negotiations. We're busy in the thralls of our own. Our own battles and whatnot. There's a lot going on right now as far as the world of arts and entertainment is concerned.
I try to stay up with it. I will say this before we say goodbye. And that was two ladies. One was Kate McGuire. One was Julianne Boyd. In the middle, I don't know if you guys know, you probably do know this, but in the middle of COVID, produced live performances outside. And I've said this on the air before, bottom line is that two ladies from Pittsfield, Massachusetts had the chutzpah enough to produce something when all the big producers and screen, all these people, couldn't do it. So I applaud these ladies.
Absolutely.
They don't know where glass ceiling is. Guy and Emma, thank you so much for taking the time. As I said, I'll get a clip. It'll air tomorrow morning, and then I'll get a clip to Amy, and you can use it any way you want. I hope it furthers your careers. And please let me know about the Boston show, because I will promote that from here.
Sure.
And tonight, I promise not to say, "Hey, it's me." They pretty much no. They told me to behave.
Be our guest.
I would at the end after the show. Love to get a picture with all of you, and I'll put it in the station if you're up for it. If not, that's fine. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the entertainment and all the wonderful time that you have given me and all the people who have seen this show. I was and am thrilled for you, but thrilled for the Colonial and Berkshire Theater Group for having the vision to bring this. And this is awful, having the vision to bring it up to the big stage, because I get nervous falling down the stairs, unicorn. All right, folks, we got to go. I'm going to let them go because I don't want to take all their time. Stay tuned. I'm going to read all your announcements. I know I've been getting the text. What, you didn't read the announcements? I know. But we'll catch up. Thank you so very much and have a wonderful career. And stay in touch. Please stay in touch.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Have a great one. Yeah. And have a wonderful closing show. I know that will be great.
All right. We'll see you there, Bill. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. We got the David Grover concert coming up. Michael Fabrizio, that's on the 22nd, Saturday, tomorrow. Make sure you're, tomorrow. Make sure you get your tickets. Also, I wanted to read this. The Diaconate Class of 2029, the Office of Diaconate, this is the Catholic Church of the Diocese of Springfield. To learn more about the Diaconate, they will be holding an informational session at St. Joseph's Parish in Pittsfield on Saturday, July 29th, 10 a.m., and Wednesday, August 9th at 6:30. If you have any questions or would like more information, please feel free to contact the Diaconate office at 413-452-0674. Also, I want to read, coming up, City of Pittsfield Summer Eats Program. This is very important. Berkshire Peak Apartments, West Street, lunch only, 12:15 to 12:45, June 28th through August 25th. That's all of these except for the farmer's market. Brattleboro Village, April Lane, 12, lunch only, 12:30 to 1. Conti Community School, West Union Street, breakfast, 8:30 to 9:30, lunch, excuse me, lunch noon to 12:30. Morningside Community School, Burbank Street. That breakfast 8:30 to 9, lunch 12:30, noon to 12:30. And on Saturdays, First Street, Farmers Market, lunch only, Saturdays only. That's 11:30 to 1. All are welcome. SNAP benefits, they're in place. Again, and also coming up this Sunday, the 16th, the Polish picnic at St. Joseph's Church. So there's a lot going on. One of the other things I want to bring out, Saturday, tomorrow, July 15th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Dalton Legion Riders, they're running their big charitable Legion Grand Outdoor Market. If you can go that. Legion Riders, they're the guys you see and gals in the parades at funeral processions of veterans. They do so very much. They're associated with the Dalton Legion, but they go all over for veterans. And that's all. They're a wonderful group of men and women who ride motorcycles, and they're really terrific. Every first Friday and Saturday, May through December, there'll be an open house at the Clock Tower Artists. Now, they are in the old Eaton's Paper, the Eagle Building, on South Church Street. It's a colony of artists. I'm going to do a show with them. It's a colony of artists. It's magnificent stuff. All local artists, gifted people. Also, I will say this too, coming up, let me get my fingers to work here. July 18th, Tuesday, July 18th, roast beef dinner, pasta salad, Carnoute Diners. This is at the Italian American Club. You have to call for reservations, 413-442-8584. Excuse me, I'm getting very dry. Also coming up, and this is really cool too, 2023 Jazz Dinner Series, 7 to 9, performances throughout the dining hour. You can find out more about those, mail@boscom.net. And this one's cool too. This is baseball in the Berkshires. And it's out there at the stationery factory. And it's really cool, expose of baseball in the Berkshires. There you go, Bill. And you can find out more about it by calling 413-822-6738. And there's so many wonderful things. And we've had wonderful, wonderful athletes come out of Pittsfield. I'm fortunate enough to have grown up with Mark Belanger, and he was one of the best, in my opinion. Tiny Father is playing. It's almost at the end of its run. It's a wonderful, and it's at the St. Germain stage. Tiny Father, directed co-world premiere with the something Chukanoka Theater. I can't say that one. But anyhow, it'd be wonderful to see that. And the one I'm waiting for, and I'm going to start announcing it now, August the 1st through the 27th. Then you say, August, come on, Bill. Well, today's the 13th of July, so there you go. But this is called Faith Healer, and it stars Chris Anvar, Mark Dole, and Gretchen Olt. All I'm going to tell you is I know them as actors. This is going to be spectacular. All right. What can I tell you? Have a wonderful weekend. But remember, everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs help. So let me leave you with this. God bless you. And let's do what we can to be somebody's bright spot in their day. I try. I hope through this program and other ways. Be well. Enjoy. See you soon. Don't forget, Million Dollar Quartet will be over on Sunday. Get to see you. Keep on.